Amarav, Hayman, Deboy, Lemevan, Dina, the Itah, Deboy, Lemiftar, Lishko, Rishusa, Mibay, Resh, Kalusa. So Rav tells us, if somebody wants to judge, and should he err, he wants to be putter from paying, then what he should do is get authority from the Resh Kalusa. V'chena Meshmuel, Lishko Rishusa Mibay Resh Kalusa. Clearly, what is Rav telling us? That being granted the special authority from Resh Kalusa provides a cover, insurance, coverage. You don't have to pay for the mistake. The Lashon of Rav, though, is interesting. Hayman Deboy Lemeidan Dina. The Itah Mibay Lemiftar. Why does he have to start with Boy Lemeidan Dina? I mean, the point is that he's getting the Rishus in order to be putter from paying. This could be a bit of a snach to what we'll see soon in the Rambam. That the Rishus from Resh Kalusa is not just Nogeya being putter Mirishalim, that's clearly true. The Rambam brings that too. But it also has to do with the certain degree of power that he gets as a dayan. What did the Rambam hold? We're talking about pashtus. We're for sure talking about a case of a mumche l'rabim, a yochid mumche, that we discussed until now. Until now, we saw that a mumche l'rabim would have to pay, except if the baladinim were mekabel in kibul chalayu lo tishalim. Rashi's pshat was they said explicitly. We had other ways to read Rashi. We had other pshatim, but without kibul chalayu, without the baladinim being mekabel the dayan, the mumche l'rabim, he has a right to. He's a dayan. He's qualified as a dayan, but he would be chayiv v'shalim. So what do you have here? You have the din of mitzvah rishus mirish galusa that he's part of milishalim. But what did we see in Tosfos? Without Nitilas Rishus, there is a koach of kfiyah. That was a Tosfos that we saw earlier. That mumchal rabim can be done bal korcham of the baladinim. However, the Rambam holds that there is no koach of kfiyah. The mumchal rabim cannot be kofer. So the Rambam holds in Tilas Rishus gives you the right to be kofa as well. We'll see seen in the Rambam inside. So it could be that's meduik in the lashon of the statement of Rav, right? Hayman deboy lemeidan dina. Number one, you want to get a certain koach ladun that you can be done bikfia, and also the itah midboy lemifta. We have to know what's the relationship between the two things. Are they two independent points, or does one derive from the other? However, according to those who hold that you could be done bikfia anyway, so the entire point of Nitilas Rishus is specifically what? To be part of Milishalim. So how do you explain the words? It's just a way of expressing to judge and not have to pay. It goes together. Hayman deboy lemeidan dina, and you won't have to pay for the din Torah. It's not two separate things. L'chor, that's what you would have to say. What's unclear, of course, is what's the gedder of the Nitilas Rishus. We'll have to see soon the Hemshach HaGemara and the Rashi, exactly what kind of a halacha is this, that the Resh Galusa can grant Rishus, Benogeya, being part of Milishalem, according to the Rambam, Benogeya, that you can be called for, where does it come from, what's the idea? And the other thing that's not clear is, what type of a dayan are we talking about? We're certainly talking about a mumcha l'rabim. That's the discussion that we just finished. What about someone who doesn't fit that category? He's not, what do we say you need for mumcha l'rabim? You're gomir, v'savir, maybe also the other idea that you're meforsim. The gomir v'savir is obviously basic. Let's say he's not a gomir v'savir. Let's say he's gomir v'lo savir. Let's say he's lo gomir. Doesn't Tilas Mishus give you any kind of koach? We'll see that's the discussion. Yad Ramah as well. So we have to know what the gedder of this halacha is, what's the koach of the Resh Galusa, what is the extent to which he can extend such an immunity to the dayan, to the person who comes to him for rishus. Let's just first continue with the whole Gemara. We'll see the Rashis, we'll see what comes out. Mar continues, that's what Rav said. V'chein amas Shmuel. Shmuel said the same thing. Lishko v'shusim v'vishkalusa. In other words, in order to be part of Milishala. The Gemara continues. Now, the Reish Galusa was stationed in Bavel. Reish Galusa, we call him the exilarch. He was the political force to take care of the fears of the Jews in Bavel. And he had obviously a certain authority and status, and people revered him. Now, this Netilas Rishus that we see grants this insurance policy to the Dayan. So, where does it work? Pshita, and Igmar is going to discuss this in the perspective of the Reish Galusa in Bavel, and the counterpart being the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Nasi was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. So, he obviously had authority as well. His authority was vested in, obviously, in the Sanhedrin, but he also had, obviously, a certain political dimension to his office as well. The Nasi was involved with the affairs of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And he was also considered to be an authority figure. So the Gemara says like this. Pshita, this is obvious. Mehacha lahacha o mehasam lahasam. If we're talking the Netilas Rishus from here, meaning Bavel, as far as Bavel, during the jurisdiction being Bavel, or mehasam lahasam, meaning from Eretz Yisrael extending to Eretz Yisrael, so either Gores Mahani or it's understood that would certainly be valid, the Tilas Rishus, and would accomplish what we just said, that he would be part of Milishale. What else? Umehachalasam. If it's from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Mahani or Nami Mahani. In other words, that would also work. The power of Reish Galusa is such that it provides insurance for the Dayan even when he judges not in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael. And why should that be? The Hacha Shevet v'Hasa Mechokek. Because you want to talk about the description of the authority of the Reish Galusa vis-a-vis that of the Nasi. So here, the Reish Galusa, his title is Shevet. Shevet is a rod, a scepter, which is a strong sense of power. Hasam, in Eretz Yisrael, the description of the Nasi's role is a mechokek, a legislator. What's stronger? The stick, right? Shevet. Kedesanya, how do we see this? These two labels, the Kedesanya, like the Bryce explains the Pasuk in Vayechi. Lo Yasser Shevet mi Yehuda. What did Yaakov Avinu promise Yehuda? That the Malchus would remain with his progeny. And he uses two expressions in the Pasuk. First, Lo Yasser Shevet mi Yehuda, and then Mechokek mi Bein Raglav. Both refer to a certain dynasty. But they're different dynasties, the Bryce explains. Yasser Shevet mi Yehuda, Elu Rashi Golios Tebebavel. They also, there was a dynasty of Rashi Golios, and they all came from Yehuda. But why is that the expression Shevet? Sherodim es Yisrael b'Shevet. They discipline those under their charge, call Yisrael with Shevet, with the rod. That's the expression used for the chain of Rashi Golios. The next part of the Pasuk, Mechokin Mibein Raglav, again, the notion of a chain of legislators, Eilu b'nei banav shel Hillel, Shemalam din Torah b'Rabim. So the second expression of the Pasuk refers to the role of Nasi, again, and it went down generation after generation, and they also descended from Yehuda. We'll see in Tosis perhaps in a slightly different way, but they also descended from Yehuda. And their description is Milam din Torah b'Rabim. So that's the Mechokek. They're teaching Torah. But Mechokek is not as powerful for our purposes of what are we discussing here, the notion of providing the immunity to the Dayan. So the power that rests in Shevet is a stronger power than that rests in Mechokek, and therefore the power of Shevet extends even to the jurisdiction area of Mechokek, but that's clear. What's the Shaila? What's not clear? The other way around. What about from Eretz Yisrael? The Nogea Bava, would the Netivas Rishuas operate even in the area of Bavel if it was granted in Eretz Yisrael from the Nasi. Tashma, so we posted the Shaila from the following story. The Rabba Bar Chana, not to be confused with Rabba Bar Bar Chana, as Tosas will tell us, Rabba Bar Chana, Dandina, Vita. He made a mistake in the Din Torah. Also, Kamei de Rav Chia. Now, we'll see later in the Gemara the story that he was not a Rishus in Eretz Yisrael, and he went down to Bavel. At the time that he was going down to Bavel, he was not a Rishus. And he made a mistake while in Bavel. So now he went, at some point he was back in Eretz Yisrael, that's Rav Chia was, and he went before Rav Chia. And the question is whether he had to pay. So Rav Chia responded, same words that we saw earlier in the Amud, Rav Yosef spoke to Mazur to these words. He said, Kibbuch alayu, if the Bali didn't accept you as Dayan, Rashi will learn the way he learned before, I imagine. So then, lo tishalim, then you're off the hook because they accepted the toast. So then, you're pater, the ilo, and if they weren't makabo on you again, whatever the pshat is going to be, zil shalim. But what's the issue here? The issue is, v'haraba barchana rishus avinakit. As the story later on the Amid is going to tell us, he was not the Rishus from the Nasi. And yet, the only way he'd be Pater is with were it to be Kibbuch Alayu. Shema Mina, Miasim Lacha, Lo Mahani, Shema Mina. So we have a clear Raya that the Rishus of the Nasi is not going to operate to provide the immunity in Bavel. Given that it's, again, it's only a level of Mechokek, and it's not Shevet. Shevet works in the area of Mechokik. Mechokik does not work in the area of Shevet. We're just reading Mamish Teich words. We don't know what we're talking about, but we're just reading the words. Okay. In fact, the Gemara of Velo Mahani, is it really so that it doesn't work to have the Rishus of the Nasi work in Bavel? V'harabah barav huna ki havi minci bahadi debereb shkalusa. Rabba barav huna, when he would be quarreling with those from the Reish Galusa, as Gemara has many times there was friction that would sometimes exist between the Reish Galusa and his people, and the Amoraim and the rabbis wouldn't always be so pleasant, because when people are in power, we all know the nature of human beings. So sometimes abuses take place, and as a result, this friction. So whatever it was about, there was some kind of an argument. So Rabba Bar Huna stood up to them and he said, I don't need to come on to you. I didn't get Rishus from you. Nakitna Rishusa mi Abba Mari. I got my Rishus, Ladun, from my father, meaning Rav Huna. The Abba Mari may Rav, and Rav Huna my father got from Rav, and Rav from Rav Chia, Rav from Rav Chia, Rav Chia may Rebbe. Which, of course, indicates, as Tosfos in the bottom of the page will tell us, that apparently this Netilas Rishus Minasi would seem to be that you don't have to go directly to the Nasi, you can go to someone who got Rishus, from someone who got Rishus going back, which is interesting. In the line of Smicha, that's correct. But here, seemingly, we're discussing, at first glance, not the same dynamic as Smicha. We're discussing something else, Netilas Rishus. That's certainly what we saw yesterday in the Ran, according to one side in the Ran, maybe even both. The Tiras Rishus is a very distinct notion from Smicha. But that's what, meanwhile, you see that Rabba Bar Rav Huna was saying, I don't need you, I have my Rishus that goes back to the Nasi. And he was talking in Bavel. He was arguing to Reish Galusa. So here you see that the Tiras Rishus of the Nasi does help in Bavel. And for the Gemara, no, really it doesn't, but the Milsa Diyamahu De'ukim Lohu. He was just saying something in order to kind of put them in their place. Not that really it was true, but he was just trying to speak back to them. And he spoke back to them. He said, look at me, I don't need you, I have a shus from the Nasi. L'maisa, it really wasn't going to work for him, but it was a way of him being able to stand up for himself. Okay. Okay. In fact, the Gemara, one more. Kasha v'chimi achad d'lo mahani. If you're telling me that Netilas Rishus from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael does not work in Bavel, as you were posted to Shaila just now from what happened with Rabba Bar Chana. So then Rabba Bar Chana Rishus had to knock at Lamali. So why was he knock at Rishus from the Nasi? Now what kind of kash is that? He got Rishus for Eretz Yisrael, right? But the answer is, I think Rabbeinu Yonah points it out, And the Gemara is going to be mashma that way when the Gemara brings the story. He got Rishus when? When he was about to travel to Bava. That was when the Rishus was granted it. So he was on his way to Bava, so like, it's not going to help him anyway. What good is it? Why is he not the Rishus at that point when he's not going to be staying in Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is, in other words, there are areas that are in between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Before he gets to Bavel, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael and he's on the border cities, which are not technically Eretz Yisrael. And yet, that's a chidush, that the Rishus of the Nasi will work for that too. The Rishus of the Nasi not work for Bavel, but it worked for border cities, even those which are not technically Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we read a Gemara, we have to know there's so many things that are not clear to us. But the basic outline of the Gemara is there's a halacha of Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa, there's a halacha of Netilas Rishus from the Nasi. There's a difference. The Reish Galusa has a quality called Shevet, and both of these offices have a basis in a Zeres HaKasuv, in a Pasuk in Vayechi. There's a dynasty of Reish Galusa, there's a dynasty of the Nasi, but there's a different name. There's a name of Shevet for the Reish Galusa, there's a name of Chokek, Mi Barosh, who has greater authority. That we'll have to see more details about as well in the Tosfos and other Gemaras. But apparently, the Reish Galusa has something more over the Nasi, my Nafkamina in terms of our Sugya. Other Sugyas have other issues, but our Sugya, Benogeya, that the Rishus of the Reish Galusa extends even to the area of Eretz Yisrael, that's Pashut, whereas the Nasi Gemara was not sure. The Gemara ends up showing you that the Nasi's Rishus will not impact in Bavel. What is the purpose of the Nasi's Rishus? What's clearly indicated is the purpose is that he should be Patur Milshalem. That means that until now we saw one way he's Patur Milshalem, if Kibbul Halayu. Now we have even the Bali Dinim, we're not Mekabel, you as a Dayan, but there's another way to be Patur Milshalem, and that's through the Netilas Rishus. The Lashon HaGemara, as introduced by Rav, was Meidan Dina, and then the Itah. So that might indicate that there's something in the Netilas Rishus that speaks not just to the specific issue of being Patur Milshalem, but it speaks to the actual, you know, qualification of being able to judge. What could that mean? Well, to the extent that you wouldn't have a koch of kfiya as a mumcha l'rabim, so it could be that that comes with Netilas Rishus, and that would work for the Rambam. If you hold that there was a koch of kfiya, then really it has to do with specifically with the inyan of being Patur Milshalem. As far as who could be not the Rishus, kriya mumcha l'rabim, what about someone who's less than that? That's not clear. What's the koach here in the Reish Galusa? How does his granting Rishus affect the halacha, these Patur Milshalem? How does it work? Let's take a look and see what Rashi says, what Rishonim say, and so on. Okay. Yeah. Dalia.
Do we know how Shevet is referring specifically to the Rishus?
So all this will become clear as we see soon in Tosfos and so on. There's obviously a certain, you know, the Shevet is brute force, right? A Chokek is not a stronger language. It's, you know, it's authority of Torah.
No, I understand Shevet is hard.
So what it really seems to say, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, it seems to be saying is that the Malach, I even say the word Malach here, we didn't see anything in the word Malach yet, but we'll see the words Malach coming up in the Rambam. The quality of Malchus that's inherent in Reish Galusa is a different quality of Malchus than that is vested in the Nasi. The Nasi is a Malchus that's rooted in Torah. Mechokek, he's teaching Torah. Melamdin Torah Berabin. The quality of a Malchus that's vested in Reish Galusa is political power. Does he have to be a Talmud Chacham? Not necessarily. We see in Pirush Mishnayos and the Rambam mentions that in one place. He doesn't have to. There were Rashi Golios that were Talmid Chachamim. Marukva. And there's also Leon Sanhedrin, another one, Huna Bar Nosson, others. I mean, they were, but many were not. We don't know all their names. We know some of their names. But he need not be a Talmud Chacham. Whereas the Nasi, the Nasius, is a different story, head of the Sanhedrin. What we also have to think about in the back of all of this is the relationship between Smicha and the Tzilas Rishus. In other words, we know about, what do you know about smicha? Smicha is something that's necessary in order to be dandine knasas. If you're not a resource from the nasi, and you get smicha, and it might be the same, it might be overlap, obviously you're able to be dandine knasas, and also you get what the Gemara talks about with Eretz Yisrael, at least the patim l'shalim. If a reish galusa gives you resource, so it only is going to relate to the inyan that we're discussing here, whatever is included in this. Lemei dandina and patim l'shalim. It's not going to give you the right to be dandine knasas. No one's going to suggest that the tilas reish galusa in any way approximates or approaches smicha. So the question more is, the tilas reish galusa minasi, what is its relationship to smicha? Is it hainuach? Is it parallel? And tilas reish galusa clearly doesn't have in it what smicha has, but there may be something here also that parallels in one way or another the inyan of smicha. These are just general inyanim that we should think about. Yeah?
According to what we're saying, if someone has smicha, which is someone that's in Israel, so in theory they might not be able to be done in Babel.
So let's go slow. Let's see if we can reframe your question. If someone has smicha to be done in Knesset, so would anyone say that what you're implying, he couldn't be done in Knesset in Babel? If he's a samuch, he can't be done in Knesset in Babel? Would anyone say that? That's what you're suggesting.
Right.
You think it does it sound correct to you?
No.
Okay, and yet,
but if
you made a mistake, but what if you made a mistake in Babel?
Right.
That's Rabbi Bachana right here. What if you made a mistake in regular and those Babels in Babel? What's the din? Rabbi Bachana was told by Rav Chiya that if they're not mekabel you, then you have to pay. What kind of judgments could he judge? Anything. Pashtus, he could judge the niknasis in Babel too. Because that's part of what smicha gives you. So to the extent that there's an overlap here with smicha, but l'chora, it should seem intuitive to us, if you prove me otherwise, I'm hearing. But the pashtus, I would argue, that the qualification to dandi niknasis is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. But there is something in the Netilas Hashiras of the Nasi, clearly what our sugya is discussing, that would not operate in Babel. That certainly relates to the union of the Patim Milishalim, Bichai Milishalim. But to be able to be dandi niknasis, l'chora that he could do in Babel too. Kfiya, so that's another question. So that's, according to the Ram, that goes into our sugya. According to other Rishonim, it doesn't go into our sugya. Kfiya is there regardless, from Mumchel Rabbi. But now, the next question is, what if he's not even Gomer Vesavid? What if he's not? So does the Tilas Rishus help him nonetheless? And again, you have to know what is the koach of the Reish Galusa? Could it even work for someone who's not a Gomer Vesavid too? He's like a king, he can do what he wants. So he can do what he wants people's money. So maybe you can judge and you can be part of the Milisham if you're not even a qualified judge. Or does it have to go through the mechanism of being a Dayan on some level? And then we can talk about what you get from the Reish Galusa. That's also not Pashut.
According to the Ran that we quoted, I guess, previously, that when you get Tmicha, it also includes some sort of aspect of Netilas Rishos, because there's some sort of sign-off on the Nasi.
That's right.
So would that...
That we saw yesterday, yeah.
How would that work in Babel? Would that go extend to Babel, or would that only have to be in Eretz Yisrael?
So, the smicha component of it,
yeah,
obviously would extend.
Exactly.
But the Tilas Rishus component is tied down to the standards of our Gemara Lecher. Seemingly, if the idea of a samuch, having Tilas Rishus, is because you have to find the Tilas Rishus in that smicha, which is what the Ran was mashma yesterday. There'd be other Rans that mashma otherwise. It's somehow agabi patim el shalim. You don't need anything beyond that. You have it all. We'll have to see. But from the way we read the Ran yesterday, it sounds like you have to find where within smicha is in tilas rishus. So then you found it. But at the end of the day, tilas rishus minasi is only operating within jurisdiction of Eretz Yisrael. So you won't have the halacha of it being immune to pain when you get to Bava. It doesn't work in Babel. Avram?
The I was just unclear. What is exactly in the story where he's like fighting with people? What does it mean? Like, I'm not. I don't have to like listen to you. Like,
yeah, he was trying to retort that I'm not. I don't have to bend my will to your will. I have my own. I don't have to come out to you. I have my own authority that I got from another source.
We're assuming that would be like a proof that if you were.
Yes, so the Gemara originally took it literally that he was trying to assert that Mike. Look, he doesn't say what the argument was about, but could be had to do with Dayanus in whatever way. But he was saying my koach ladun and my whatever the Matthias Rishus grants you in terms of authority, I have it from there, from Eretz Yisrael. So you can't boss me around. So the Gemara assumed that meant that the koach that came from the Nasi applies even in Bavel. So that was the kasha. The answer is no. La'olam, it doesn't. But he was just trying to say to hold his own against them. Moshe Diabo, he was just talking to them to try to just put them back in their place. They shouldn't pick on him. Okay?
So there's like a group of Reish Galusa people?
No. Well, there's one individual who's a Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa had, you know, his cohorts. He had the whole, you know, the house of the Reish Galusa. There were the people. The Gemara has many times in Beitz, other places, they weren't always so Nizer and Dinim. Like, they would be. You know, people felt that they could take, you know, they were above the law, so to speak, because they, you know, how it is, it's human nature. When you're connected to power, so you feel like you different rules are there for you and everybody else. So there's the Reish Galusa, and there's the people that were working for him and involved with that whole, it's a whole structure. If you read it from a historical perspective, it's fascinating stuff. Just with that, the whole history of the Rashi Golios. But there's a halachic status, as we see in Agamar, assigned to them, and it's rooted in a pasuk. Lo yosu shevet mi Yehuda. In other words, we think that the last king was, from Malchus Beis David, was? What? No. Tzidkiyahu. But really, who went to Babel before that? And who started the chain of Rashi Golios? Who was exiled to Babel? Yechaniah, Yehoyachin. So Yehoyachin was in prison, and there was a child born to him, and then that was the continuity of Malchus Beis David. Even though not in the Malchus that we imagined as it was in Eretz Yisrael, but that started a new chain, which became Rashi Golios of Babel. And it started with Yehoyachin, who was exiled to Babel, and put in prison by Nebuchadnezzar, given his rations, whatever it is that it says in the Navi there. And then there's a chain of Rashi Golios. And they were descending Ben Achaben, as Tosus would tell us, from David. And then there's the other chain of Nisius that came from Hillel. As far as our sugya is concerned, there's a halachic lamdisha perspective that you have to think about when you think about Rashi Golios. And that has the implications for the halacha here of Netilas Rishus. But we don't really fully understand, as we're just looking at Rashi and Rishonim, what exactly is the ability of the Rashi Gola to be able to give you the Ptur Milishalim. By what halachic mechanism does it work? And we're going to see in Rashi all kinds of different things. We'll have to see how to put it all together. Nachum, you going to say something? Good? Okay, Alon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm reading Rashi now, so I don't know anything yet. We're going to read the Rashi. We have to take apart these Rashis. So let's wait till we read the Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Rashi starts off. Let's get it started in the sugya in Rashi. Zot Rashi. So Rav and Shmuel both said this inyan of Lishko Rishusa. Says Rashi. Lishko Rishusa. So if you want to be patan melishalim Lishko Rishusa, says Rashi, the kevan. Rashi tells us that the reason why you're not paying when you know the Rishus is because Birshus Nochas. That means that the Tiras Rishus gives you authority. It means you now have a right to judge. You know, Nochas means you're judging. Your Nochas means your Nochas is literally to go down. It means your Nochas means you entered as a Dayan with this Rishus that was given to you by the Reish Galusa. So Rashi seems to be saying, we stop right now this Rashi without knowing any other Rashis. We read this Rashi and we get the impression that why are you Patur Milishalem when it's not the Rishus? That's it. That's all there is to say. Because natal resus means that you had a right to judge. Once you have permission to do what you're doing, no one can make a claim against you for having caused any hezek. You might want to use the term mazik birsus. Notice if someone is mazik, but they had a right to do what they're doing. They had a right to be doing what they were doing. Now, you have to know what mazik birsus means. I mean, mazik birsus could mean that the nizik kind of let it happen. The person was affected. Or you could say that, you know, if the Torah grants you, or you get the authority, you have the right to do it. You have the right to do what you're doing. No? So then you're off the hook. You had a... I'm not sure if you want to use the words mazik b'shus or not. Rashi didn't use those words. I'm just giving you a muscle. There is a concept of mazik b'shus. Generally speaking, we say, adam u'ad l'olam. I'll take the question in a second, Menachem. Adam u'ad l'olam. Mishnah in Ketzer HaRegel, Bava Kama. Bein shogig, bein mezid, right? The pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, and petza tachas potza, is mar b'shogig k'mezid. A person is responsible if they cause hezek, whether they did it intentionally or unintentionally. That which a dayan has to pay, pashtus is a din of mazik, right? What do you have to pay? He caused hezek. There is a concept of mazik b'shus. Now, there is a sheet of Tosas that an anus gamur, even though shogig is chayiv, but anus gamur is pater. Not everybody accepts that. But the Ramban, for example, doesn't agree with that. But he does say mazik b'shus is pater. We had this a little bit in Elonairus. So there are those achronim that want to use that. Again, I'm not sure how perfect the muscle is, because we're not talking about mazik in the classic sense, and I'm not talking about the nizik giving the permission here. There are those that like to use that terminology. I mean, the notion of onus could also be used, but I'm not saying onus quite yet. I'm not saying onus. Rashi says, birshus kanachis. That means that you had the right to be judging, and then you put. So what makes it birshus kanachis? The fact that you got birshus, mishkalusa. Now, you don't want to use the term as a birshus, it's fine. Say just a local halacha, internally. A dayan who has a right to be judging, it's not chayv. Forget about other frameworks of hezek in terms of the larger principles of being pater or chayv on a zikin. Let's talk within the context of what we're discussing. A dayan is chayv l'shalem if he makes a mistake, but if he had a right to be done, then the rule is he's pater l'shalem. If he has a right to be done. So Rashi says, in the case of not the rishus, rishus nachis. Now, if you stop at that, so what would be seemingly the obvious question that the Yad Ramah already, is all over Rashi about, if you saw it? No? Well, anticipate the question.
I saw it, but...
You saw it? It's also good.
Okay. He's saying the same thing with the Mutharab, you have the ability...
So who needs to tell us rishus for that? He brings Rashi, and he says, but it's not lodak, it's not really correct, because then what is Antilus Bishus giving me that I didn't have otherwise? Mumcha l'rabim, we're talking about mumcha l'rabim, that's for sure. We have to see if we're talking about even someone's not mumcha l'rabim, even gamav lofusav here. But mumcha l'rabim is included in this halacha, that only when he is not the Bishus is he put. And Rashi says, why is he putter? Because nachis Bishus. And what if he was not the Bishus? He also has a right to judge. So what's added with not the rishus that you wouldn't have otherwise? He should be pater l'shalem because simply he is, again, nachas b'shus, call it masik b'shus, call it, he's done b'shus, that's it. So what do you need this, natilas b'shus and mishkalusa? He anyway has a right to judge. Rabbeinu Shlomo Piresh, Taima, the chinoket b'shus of mishkalusa patur, mishum the kevin the b'shus nachas lo misham. That's the Rashi we just read. V'lodayik, the imei hay taima, mumche de lo kibigur aleyem balidina nami lo lishayim, the b'shus kanachas. So, let's say it was not the b'shus, and the balidina were not mekabel him as a judge. So what did we see before? he has to pay without Kibbutz Olal. That was Rav Yosef to Mazutra. Well, that was Rav Yosef to Mazutra. Mazutra was not Nata Rishus. And Rav Yosef says, Kibbutz Olal, then the Pater. Lo Kibbutz Olal, Zil Shlin. What do you mean, Rishus? And he says further, Vigimu Ad Yotus Nami, Ki Tau Lo Yishamu, the Rishus Kanachsi. Every Gimel Ad Yotus. The halacha is, you make a mistake, of course you have to pay. Why? Rishus Kanachsi. Now, let's deal with this question first head on. He brings up Gimel Ad Yotus. Now, that should ring a bell for everybody. Where do we see that discussion of Gimel Ad Yotus? On Daf Gimel. Now, the truth is, the Gemara had the kasha twice on Daf Gimel of Tol Lo Yishalmu. Twice. Both within the discussion of Rava and Rav Avohu's interpretation of the Mishnah, and then within Rav Acha. Let's remind ourselves. According to Rava, according to Rav Avohu, so Me'ikar Adin Midoraisa, what do you require for a Beis Din? Three Mumchim. But there was an Ilas Delas concern, so the Chachamim were Machshir three Adyotas. And that's why you can have Dini Mamnis Hodos Vavos B'Shlosha Shlosha Adyotas Ilas Delas. According to Rav Acha, Midoraisa Chada Mikasher, but Midrabanan, they wanted three because of Yoshvi Kvan. So within each Mahalach of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah means, therefore, that's why it means you can have three, not Mumchin, because really you shouldn't even need three, but Midrabanan, you need three. Okay. So within each approach, the Gemara had the Kasha, Tol Lo Yishalmu. So starting with the approach of Rav Avohu. So the Gemara explains, and he goes, Deles, the Gemara shared Yoto, so the Gemara asks, Tol Lo Yishalmu. Now it's interesting. How did Rashi learn Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha? Tolo Yishalmu. Rashi says, Tol Ed Yotos B'Dini Mamedes Lo Yishalmu De Kevan De Bishus Rabbanan Kanachsi. And he goes on. So Havli Kemumchen and so on. But Rashi uses Mamish identical language to what he uses over here. Bishus Kanachsi. Is the Rishus Doraisa or the Rabbanon? It's not Doraisa. The Rabbanon, you have Rishus, but Doraisa you need three Mumchin. Okay. But Lemaisa, there's Rishus command, the Rishus Rabbanon. And then the Gemara can ask the Kasha based on that. Rishus Rabbanon Kanachsi, Sishi Pater. And Rashi compares it to what we have later by Mumchel based in the Pater. That's the case of in the Mishnah Bechoros. Which is interesting. The Gemara made no kimta of Kibbutz Olal. Rashi quotes that. Rashi quotes that Mishnah. When the Gemara has the kasha the next time around by Rav Acha, the Gemara says, "So Tol Lo Yishalmu." How did Rashi learn pshat in the kasha? Again, says Rashi, "Tol Lo Yishalmu." Says Rashi, "Da'abir Shus Nachsi Afil Midaraisa." So, knowing those two Rashi's, and you look at Rashi over here, Rashi seems to assume that being nachis b'rishus is a basis to make your pot. Here it's the rishus of the Reish Galusa. There it was the rishus of Bidrabanan or even Midrash. So now we're really wondering about what's going on. So the Yad Ramah is asking on Rashi, so what do you need the two as rishus? You have rishus regardless. That's correct. But that's not just the Yad Ramah asking such a kasha. In effect, that's the Gemara and Dav Gimel. So what's really bothering Yad Ramah? The Gemara gives a teretz. So let's practice. The Yad Ramah asks, what do you mean? So what do you mean to us rishus? And also every gimel adyotos are rishus. Yeah, the gimel adyotos, that was the Gemara's kasha earlier, even within Rava. So what did the Gemara answer? Start with that kasha of gimel. What did my answer? Why the chayiv? Koshkein shat to know dels when they love it. Because if you're going to say that they're potter, then it's going to create more problems of Nilas Delos. People are not going to want to lend. So they need to feel that they'll take the loan at the court and there'll be a mistake made by the Beis Din. The Beis Din will stand behind it and reimburse. Otherwise, you have Nilas Delos problems. So they were machshir, three adyotos because of Nilas Delos, but they also could not grant them the immunity, even though Misvar, they should have it, Bishus Kanachsi, but Nilas Delos. No, so follow that over here. So what's the kasha of the Yad Ramah? The mumcha l'rabim, even lo natal reshus, should be potter, because he has reshus to judge. Yeah, but Nilas Delis, maybe the same idea. The Chacham didn't want that to be, because Nilas Delis. Oh, so you'll ask me. No, ask me. So what changes if it's not the reshus mishgalusa? Taka good kasha. So why are they no longer considered Nilas Delis? Okay, can anyone give an answer? We'll get to Rav Acha too. Okay, wait. First thing is Dallas, yeah. So maybe, look, these are exceptional cases. They don't have to cover every single base. You know, Lamaisa, case like this, so they'll leave it, you know, because really, you have more Rishus. You have Rishus anyway, and then you have Rishus on top of Rishus. You have Rish Galusa. No, so then they said, but what about Kodra Vacha, as you say? Kodra Vacha, they might have a similar kasha. Tolo Yishalmu, and the Gemara gives a teretz that if you're going to say Tolo Yishalmu, what's going to happen? More of Yosef Kodans are going to crop up because everyone's going to want to be in this opportunity to judge. They know that they're not going to have to pay, so it's going to create more Yosef Kodans problem. Now, what did Mumchal Rabin, why is Mumchal Rabin allowed to judge? Because Mumchal Rabin, we sort of skied clear of the Yosef Kodans problem, right? Why is Mumchal Rabbah allowed to judge? What happened to the problem of Yosef Kodesh? The answer is, because once he's outstanding, and he's known, and he's got all these qualities, so then you know what you're getting. Okay, but it could be that if this Mumchal Rabbah, quote-unquote Mumchal Rabbah, is going to be part of Milishalim, so it could be there are going to be a lot of fakes out there. People are going to want to pass themselves off as as a Mumchal Rabbah, maybe you won't catch all of it. And I'm just suggesting. In other words, the same way the Gemara answers the Kasha and Dav Gimel, that if you're going to tell him, if you're going to say that the Patim of Yerushalayim, there are going to be more Yosef Kodesh. So that same concern can crop up in the context of a Mumchal Rabbah. Mumchal Rabbah pushes back against Xeri Yosef Kodesh. But being Patim of Yerushalayim brings back the problem of Yosef Kodesh. It's always a question of a balance. The same way on Dav Gimel, the concern that if there'll be Patim Milishalim, there'll be more Yosef Kodes coming, so that same concern can be plugged into our sugya. So, at the end of the day, maybe that's the answer to the Kasha of the Yad Raman Rashi. I'm not saying it's the perfect Shan Rashi, but I'm just thinking, we start off, we read a Rashi, and we have the problem of the Yad Raman. So we say, one second, Yad Raman, full disclosure here, you didn't give us the Gemara Dav Gimel. You're asking a kasha, but the Gemara Dav Gimel discusses these issues. And Rashi Diadavka explains, Nachis Bershus, of both kashas. And the Gemara gives terutzim to the kashas. So take those terutzim, put it back over here, and that's why you need something additional. What do you need additional? You need the Tilas Bershus, Mirish Galusa. And now we can go back to the default of what? Of Nachis Bershus. In other words, once we bring one more variable into the mix, so then we're back to where we really need to be, fundamentally, of Nachis Bershus. You look at the footnotes here, the annotator Yad Ramah, so he says something similar to what I just told you. It's not exactly what I just told you. On the Kasha of the Yad Ramah, it says, no, number 76. He says, Kushis Rabbeinu L'chor Tzarech Bir, the Iko Meimar, the Mehat Taima, ולא נתן בשש חייב, אף אגב זה בשש נחש. כי דאמין על אל, דב גימל, אתה נאו דלש בפני לובן. Okay, he doesn't follow through in terms of the other answer, but I would just plug in the other answer too. You see in the Gemara on Dav Gimel, that Netilas Bishus, I'm sorry, that the Nachas Bishus should pater you. Be it Nachas Bishus mid Rabbanan, Bishus Rabbanan Kanachsi, be it Nachas Bishus mid Oraisa, but there's specific considerations to push that the other direction. Koskin Shetan no Odelis. Koskin Shetan, there'll be more Yosef Kodesh. So simply say, now we are with Mumchal Rabbah, and there is a Nachas Bershus right bit built into that, but there's also the concern that if you're going to say your Pata based on that, so whatever it be it Nilas Delis, be it Nefish Yosef Kodesh. So you have to get something more. But it's not glad. Everything sounds good, but it's still a problem. I'll tell you why I'm still bothered by this. Who can maybe anticipate a kashi here? Yeah?
I was going to say something else.
But what doesn't work well in Hemshech HaSugya, according to this? If the fundamental tour boils down, back down to what? to Nachas Bishus. And all we're doing here with Nachas Bishus Galusa is getting rid of the distractions of Nilas Deles or Yoshvi Kranis. But really, what are we at? At the end of the day, what's the basis for the tour? It's the Nachas Bishus. It's not the Tiras Bishus Meish Galusa per se for itself that empowers this diet. The Dayan's got the power already. It's just that there would have been a counterweight that wouldn't have let us potter him. And the Natal Bishkalusa just gives you like, okay, it's an exceptional case, so here we won't be concerned about Nilas Deles, we won't be concerned about Nefishas Rikranas, it's just already, it's isolated cases. So the basis of the tour is based on some kind of a koach that's built into Reish Galusa, the way I'm setting up for Rashi. The koach, the basis for the Torah is based on what? It's based on your inherent koach ladun, except that there was a counter svara that we had to overcome. If that's true, then what's the problem in Hemshach HaGemara then? The Gemara discusses hachalacha, hasam, hachalacha. What kind of discussion is that? I mean, why should the Nasi's koach be limited to Eretz Yisrael to grant immunity? When he gets the Tilas Mishnas from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, he goes to Bada. What does he have going for him? To begin with, forget the Nasi's Mishnas. What does he have going for him? Nachas Bishus. Already. From the beginning. Which is already a basis to Pater. The only thing is, we have the Gemara Dav Gimel to figure out, but what about the concerns of Yosef Kranis and the concerns of Yilas Delas? So, we're not to when we give one more, put more one more thing in the mix, and we have Yilas Bishus, so now the Chacham will step aside and not be concerned about, be it Yilas Delas, be it Yosef Kranis. So then, why would the Yilas Bishus with the Nasi not help to allow him to be Patrim Lashem in Bavel? He has already what he needs. Except that there was a distraction that we had to overcome. So once we make the case a little bit different, and we have a token, Tilas Rishuas, from the Nasi, so Mimela, we can give him his immunity that he should have anyway. So why would it stop the borders of Eretz Yisrael or just beyond that? Why? It was the sugya doesn't lay out well. It was, you want to finesse the Kashav Yad Ramah, maybe. But it's not going to be the full answer for Rashi. Chur, it's not going to solve our problem. At the end of the day, it seems that there's something about the Reish Galusa, and if it's the counterpart of Eretz Yisrael, it's Nasi, that does, in fact, create some reality on the ground in terms of the status of this person that contributes to the Ptur Milashalim. The way we just explained it, in response to Yadav Maskasha, there's really nothing per se in terms of the samchus of the individual, the authority that's added with Reish Galusa. The Nachas Bishus is already there. But we have a counterweight and we have to neutralize that. That's where Nato Bishus comes in. But that's not going to work in the sugya. Not going to work in the sugya. So in a way, we're back to square one. But Rashi did say, Bishus Nachas. And Rashi said it not just here, Rashi said it in Dav Gimel. So, what could be the line to draw between Dav Gimel and Dav Hei that would still bring the Reish Galusa into the mix, as opposed to just sort of giving it a case of a Yotzim and a Klal case? No, it is something that he's adding to the definition of a Nachas Bishus that comes with the Tilas Bishus. Yeah?
Could you based on like what you only said maybe for earlier for Rashi, that there's a Kfiyah aspect?
Oh, so that's what I'm thinking. Now, we haven't been able to prove yet, one way or the other, Shitas Rashi, maybe we can medaik it here, maybe even the earlier Rashi, about whether a Mumcha L'Rabim has a Koach of Kfiyah. Bro, so you're with me? We tried a Mahalach, we got to a dead end, right? We're back in a way to our Kasha. We try to deal with the Yad Ramah, but seemingly doesn't help in the sugya. There has to be something in the Tilas Bishus specifically that boosts the level of the Bishus. So what could be the answer? The answer relates to the we medayik in the beginning of the sugya. Lemeidan dina v'ita lemifta. So what's the lemeidan dina? The point is being part of the lishan. What's the lemeidan dina? So we already know the Rambam will see inside soon that this issue relates not just to the question of being part of the lishalem, but this relates to the koach ladun itself, whether you can koach ladun aride kfiya. Balkarcha. So how does Rashi hold on this question? What did Tosa say? A mumcha l'rabim already has a koach to be kofar. You only need two officials to listen for that. You only need two officials in patam elishale. That's Tosa. Tosa Rashi. The Rambam says no. Mumcha l'rabim cannot be kofar. What does Rashi hold? I think the Shach, when he learned Rashi, I think he assumed Rashi holds that there is a koach of fear. No? I think that's what came after the Shach. But Lamaisa, one could be medayik from Rashi, that you need Kabbalah, you can't be kofar. What could be the deal in Rashi? Because what did Rashi say, ilo zil slim? Means he said that was a din Torah. And if they didn't say anything, then what? Then you could judge them. There had to be a Kabbalah. But he's a Mumcha l'Rabim. Rashi holds, regardless, there's a Kabbalah. There's a Kabbalah on in within and with toast, whether that's explicit or implicit. And then there's the other case. Kapshuta Rashi means he explicitly said, not like the Shach. Why, you know, in within and with toast. And what's the other case? They said that is within toast. There was a Kabbalah of sorts. Again, I'm not going with this. The Shach learned it's a different, the Vavarsky, it's a different dinosaur than Torah, than Vav. Pastor's Rashi is talking about a Kabbalah of some kind of dinosaur than Torah. Why do Rashi need to have that? So the easy answer to that is, why Rashi needed it? Because if you didn't have a Kabbalah of the Validinim, then you couldn't have him been judging you. Ah, he's a Mumcha l'Rabim. Rashi holds not like Tosis. Rashi holds like the Rambam. We first read the Rashi. That was our impression. We first read the Rashi. No. So Mumcha l'Rabim cannot be kofi. So you can't call that Nachas Bishus, could you? Now, back to Dav Gimel. So can Gimel Hajotos be kofi? According to Rashi, if I'm correct now, that Mumcha l'Rabim cannot be kofi. Can Gimel Hajotos be kofi? So what did Tosa say? Tosa compares everything. Tosa says, well, a Mumcha l'Rabim can be Kofar Ladin. Right? And who else can be Kofar Ladin, says Rashi? Just Tosa, I mean? Gimur Jotos. And he says, because Gimur Jotos, B'mokam Yachad Mumcha Kaim. So it's all the same. Now, if we are correct in our conjecture, that Rashi holds that Mumcha l'Rabim cannot be Kofar. That's what Rashi needed. The ego also means a Kabbalah of some kind. You could be kofar otherwise. That's over here. That's Mumcha l'Rabim. What about Gimel Hajotos? And we're explaining Rashi couldn't call this Nachas Bereshus without Netilas Bereshus Bereish Galusa because he can't be kofar. Nachas Bereshus has to mean that he has a koach unilaterally to summon them and to judge them. So then if that's correct, what would that Rashi hold by Gimel Hajotos? What should follow? He could. How do I know? Because what did Rashi say on Daf Gimel? Ihachi Tolo Yishalmu. The two kashas in the Gemara, Daf Gimel. What does the Gemara, how does Rashi learn the kasha? Tolo Yishalmu. Why? Bishus Kanachsi. What's Bishus Kanachsi? They can't be kofa. So it would imply that Gimel Hajotos Rashi would hold could be kofa. And therefore, the Gemara's kasha there was Bishus Kanachis based on the fact that they could be kof. Gimel Hajotos could be kof. But over here, in response to Yad Rama's kasha, so Yad Rama asked, then if the pshat of the Gemara is your pata because of Nachis Bishus, as Rashi seems to say, so then what do you need the Ntilas Bishus Meishkalusa? And the answer is because without it, you couldn't be kofar. Rashi will hold now at Tosis. So what did the Biskalusa give you? He gave you, in effect, the koach to be laden aydei kfiya, which is getting us to the Rambam. But now, we have to see when we read the Rambam how it all fits together, but now in terms of how we're tentatively reading Rashi, so where's the Ptur Milusharim derived from? Oh, so in other words, the koach of the Reish Galusa gives you the koach ladun aydei kfiya. And therefore, you're nachas pirshus. If you're nachas pirshus, if you have a right to be done aydei kfiya, then that brings with it the Ptur Milusharim, like we saw in Dav Gimel in Rashi. What gives the Reish Galusa the right to give you the let you be done by aydei kfiya? That we still have to fine tune, but at least we know the first Rashi. The first Rashi is discussing the basis of why you're Ptur Milusharim, pirshus kanachis. That's exactly an echo of the Rashi Dav Gimel. Now, at first glance, we wanted to compare the sugyas and say, okay, so then why in Dav Gimel did Gemara not stay with that? Because we had Nilos Deles and other svaras. So maybe that's the same issue over here. Maybe that's why the Reish Galusa makes a difference. Because now we're not gozer Nilos Deles and we're not gozer. But that's not going to help us, because the Gemara is going to ultimately look at Netilas Mishus as something which operates within certain provinces and not others. And if it's all about, you basically have the Rishus to begin with, L'chayra, that's not going to, you can't do this. You can't say that it only works in Eretz Yisrael and not in Bava. That was our problem. So now we're retracing our steps. We're saying, no, the connection to Rashi Dav Gimel is valid. Rashi does, that's the diuk of our Rashi, the diuk on Dav Gimel. Rashi holds fundamentally that a Nachis Rishus is put. But what's called Nachis Rishus? So we're defining it, if you have a right to be done, are you dek fear? So Dav Gimel is discussing Gimel, based on Dav Gimel, they can be done by Yidei Kfiya. So the Mar's Kasha is, she Ptur Milusharim, and gives answers why they're not Ptur Milusharim. When it comes to our sugya, we are, to begin with, you can be done by Yidei Kfiya. So then you're not Nachis Pshus without anything more. But what does Matilas Pshus Mishkalusa do? So maybe that's like the Rambam is going to say, it helps you done by Yidei Kfiya. Memela, you're Nachis Pshus, because you have a right to be done by Yidei Kfiya. So that's why Ptur Milusharim. How does the Ptur Milusharim give you the koach l'netifia that we have to still see? But what we see in Rashi is that the Ptur Milusharim is not speaking directly to being Ptur Milusharim. The Ptur Milusharim is speaking to what issue? To the issue of giving you the samchus, the authority to be done as a dayan ad kfir. Memela, you are nachis pshus, memela yapat. Not that the Reish Galusa can speak directly to the end result. That's the mahalach we're suggesting for Lashon Rashi. Now we have to see more Rashis coming. Yeah, Moshe, we're going to give you the more Rashis. So you can ask him for the next Rashis. We'll get there. Yeah?
I was just going to ask that. Isn't the Gemara Gion the Rashus that Rashi's talking about? Isn't that Rashi's talking about just Rashus, just at their density?
Rishus
Rabban, because Nilach Elas are able to judge.
But maybe the Chacham gave you the right to judge. They can give you a judge. That you can be called for Lavi. Maybe that's implicit in the koach of the Chachamim. So if the Chacham did it, the Torah gave it. Again, you could plug holes here. Look, Rashi says no, even midiraisa by Chadam Mikasher. Is it really clear that Chadam Mikasher can be called for? What did the Rama hold about Chadam Mikasher? Are you a Beis Din? Rama says you're not a Beis Din. Maybe, unless you say Torah here, the Rambam is saying Chanavi Kasher because Rambam holds like Rava. And Rava holds you really need three. But Rava also accepts the Drasha B'Tzedek. That's what a lot of Achronim want to say, Shtikl Torah in the Rambam. The Rambam holds like Rava, even though he sounds like he's passing like a Bacha, he really holds like Rava. But Rava also accepts B'Tzedek. But it's a different B'Tzedek. According to Ravacha, the B'Tzedek gives you a din of a Beis Din. And that's the Sugya Dav Gimel. The Rav accepts Bitzedek, but only to make you right to be give a harah. But really, within Ravach, it would be Allah of a Beis Din. No. This is all Shtikl Torah in the Rambam. The pastor's Ram holds like Ravacha, and he still says he's not a Beis Din. Okay. And in Rashi, we also have to figure out. Rashi says Bitzedek. Rashi says Ravacha doesn't hold a Be'er Parshis. And you wonder, what do you need two things? So maybe in the Chanami, according to Rashi, you are a Beis Din. That's why I need Bitzedek. to give your same base, and so then the Gemara could say, so you can be kofay, then you should be patur mi'usara. So it does work. These are all the kind of things you have to start, you know, tracking in light of what was said. Yeah.
I was going to ask, based on Dav Gimel, Rashi says also in return to Rav Acha, Rishut Kanachet.
He says it twice. He says it by the first kasha of Gimel,
so
and Gimel by.
That's why it should be different from Dav Hei.
No, because there we're going.
But Rashi says on Dav Hei, it's Rav Acha.
Because the Gemara gave a teretz over there that we have a gzeir of Yoshvi Kranos. So now we have the teretz of Yoshvi Kranos. So now you don't have the koch. You think you still have the koch of kfiya, you see. What do you ask?
Yeah.
So if you had a koch of kfiya on Dav Gimel, so where was that lost over here by Mumcha L'Rabbi?
Yeah.
Ah, it doesn't stim. You're asking as Nakasha. It doesn't stim what we're saying. Close the Gemara right now. Okay, say, no shir. No, I listen.
That's Gimel, though. This is
opposite. Not the same, but this is with within Rav Acha.
There's actually you have three there, so maybe Dafkin is three.
Good, you saved me. Very good. Because it's a based in. That's part of the cheshbon, because it's a based in. In other words, the Chachamim said, you need three. So if you have three, the three have a koch of kfiya. But if the Torah's one, you would have a koch of kfiya. When you have three and you have reshus kanachas midoraisa, then you would have a koch of kfiya. But only three have a koch of kfiya, not a one. So that's what the Reish Galusa gives you. The Reish Galusa gives you the koch of kfiya. Once you have a koch of kfiya, the accord b'shus kanachis, the meli, patur mi'usara. Okay, so this is all a reading of the first Rashi. There, understand, one of the main inyanim that's going to come out of many Rishonim in this sugya, b'negei Reish Galusa, is Hefka based in Hefker. Rashi is going to say it too. And the Yadraman, the Rishonim. The question is, how does that apply to a Reish Galusa? We just have to be there. What, my Indian based in the Reish Galusa? Fine. And how does that speak to the issue at hand? How does Hefka based in Hefka speak to the issue? So the most obvious connection is Hefka based in Hefka speaks to the money issue. But that's not, if we're learning Rashi correctly, that's not going to be the relationship. Because the money being katan milishalim is a function of what? Of birshus kanachis. Which we're translating as the right to be kofah. Where do you get the right to be kofah? From the tilas birshus. A basin of gimel has the right to be kofah. So the Gemara had a kashis. Tolo yishalmu. The Gemara gave tirutzim adav gimel. Here we're talking by what? So then it's no koach except if you're not a rishus. Let's proceed in the rest. And again, what led me here, Rabbi Usa? What led me here? Because if I want to just work within the framework of Dav Gimel and Dav Hei and leave it at that and plug in Milas Delas, if you will, plug in Koskein the Nefishi Yoshi Kronos, if you will, plug into our sugya, then the Tilas Meshus Minasi Meshkalusa is not adding in a substantive way. It's just a way of deflecting the problem that we would have of Yoshvi Kronos and Nilos Delas. But it doesn't seem to be correct, because then where are we left in the end of the Gemara? That the Nasi can only do it here and not beyond. Why? So you have to find room for the Nachas Birshus in the actual Netilas Birshus. So how does it add something you didn't have before? The answer is it gave you some koach that you didn't have before as a diet. So they will argue that Rashi holds that you couldn't be kofah, unlike Tosfos, and that's where the Reish Galusa and the Nasi can give you the koach of kfiya. You have a right to judge. Memele, you're nachas b'rishus. And therefore you're part of Mirushalim, because that's the notion of a dayan has a right to judge, can be part of Mirushalim. That's the Rashi and Dav Gimel too. We're not inventing that idea. That Rashi Dav Gimel, the Gemara's kasha. Let's go weiter in the Rashis. Mehacha lahacha. What does that mean? Mereish galusa debavel remeidan dina debavel. It's interesting. Remeidan dina. I thought the whole Netilas Birshus is mipatim milishalim. What's the remeidan dina? He could judge anyway. But that was our deal to begin with. Hain man debay remeidan dina ve'ita. One thing or two things. So seemingly there are two points here. That which patur mi'usara is a function of the first part, that you're getting resus ladun. So Rashi speaks in that level. Mehakalacha mirskausid bava lemeidan dina bebava. Umehasam lahasam minasi deret Yisrael. That's the nasi luadim deret Yisrael. So that is clear. That works. What else clearly works? Mehakal lahasam works. Why the hacha shevet hasam achokik? Says Rashi shevet. What's the shevet idea of mirskausa? Lashon srara shevet connotes authority. The yesh lahen reshus lehafkir. The Reish Galusa has the authority to declare things onerous. Maman Yisrael can become onerous. He can make it hefker. The hefker based in hefker. The chsiv, like it says in Ezra, v'choshe lo yavo v'gomer, v'yavamis v'yisharab. This Rashi is a mamish again, a medrash pliya. We have to dissect the Rashi here. So Rashi brings in Hefker based in Hefker in connection to Reish Galusa, in connection to why he's called a Shevet, which is only mentioned in the Gemara to explain why he's higher than the Nasi, and therefore his authority extends to Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, what does Hefker based in Hefker have to do with Reish Galusa? The words Hefker based in Hefker have to do with based Reish Galusa. Where is he based in? He's an authority figure. Good. So he's an authority figure, Lashon Svara. He's a Shevet. The Yeshken Rishus Lehafkir? Who's Rishus Lehafkir? Based Hefker, based in Hefker. Strange. What's the connection? What does Rashi quote? The Pasuk in Ezra. This is the Gemara in the Gemara is in two places. Also, Rashi quotes Yevamis. It's also in Gittin. In Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav. There really are two psukim, the Hefker based in Hefker. The Pasuk Rashi quotes is one of the two, the Pasuk from Ezra. What's the Pasuk? The Amar of Yitzchak, the Gemara quotes Hefker based on Hefker, the Amar of Yitzchak, Minayin Shefker based on Hefker, Shenemar, Bechoash Elo Yavo, Lishloses Hayamin, Ka'atsas Hasorin, Be'askenin, Yacharam Kol Rishuch, Vechusho, Vuhibadu Mekalagola. Whoever doesn't arrive in 3 days, according to the advice of the Sarim and the Skenim, his property will become slated for destruction, and he shall be put in chayim. So Yachram Kolachusha, Hefker Bezin Hefker. The other drasha, Rav Elazar says, Mihacha, Yehoshua Yutes, Ela Nachalos Hashenachalu Elazar Akov Yishua Benun, the Rashi Ha'avos, Ma'in Rashi Meitzel Avos, Lo Malach, Ma'avos Manchilam Es Beneim, Komashi Yirtzu, Af Rashi Manchilam Ha'am, Komashi Yirtzu. A hekish from Pasuk in Yehoshua. That there's a koach to be manchil, just like by avos it can be manchil the children, so too Rashi have the koach to be manchil property. That's in Gittin Lamed Vav, and then as Rashi quotes from Yevamis, Adap Peites, Amid Beis. Same thing. Amrav Yitzchak and Rav Elazar Amar Mehach. Bechal, you have to know this is not our Indian. Why two different psukim? Does one pasuk speak to something that the first pasuk doesn't speak to? One pasuk is from Ezra, Kapitel Yud. The other of Yeshua Yotes. The second pasuk is to be manchil. First pasuk is Yacharam Kol Rechusho. What's the Russian Hefker based in Hefker? What's yours is not yours. What does that parallel more? Which pasuk? Yacharam Kol Rechusho means your property is not yours anymore. It's to be slated. Doesn't say that it's given to anyone else. The other pasuk sounds like there's a koach also to give it to someone else, to assign it to someone else, to be manchil. So Achronim want to say that's an old question. Hefker Beis Nefker, does it also mean to give money, to award money to someone else, or only to take away? It could be the two psukim are one is building off of the other, one is building off the other. Rashi quoted one pasuk. Rashi quoted Ezra. But this is a Hefker based in Hefker. And what are we using it for? The Rashi Gola. What title would you associate with the Rashi Gola? What title? You saw it in the Rambam, you saw it in the Ran maybe. What title? No. Nelech. Nelech, not based in Nelech. No, so you have to know, we'll have to get to this maybe at some point. Does a Nelech have the right to be Maskir? Hefker based in Hefker. But even if you tell me a melech can do it, Tosus later also in the second parak, does a melech, what does a melech have right to do with people's money? And does he have limits? Can he just take away things just like that? Or does it have to be for certain agendas, certain types of reasons, but not just like that? Tosus Daf Chaf Mabez in the second parak, Tema, Lama Nenesh Achav Al Novos. He didn't want to sell him his field. Why couldn't he just take it away? The Tosus says, not simple. He can't necessarily, he could take it for his servants, not for himself. A kopanim. It's not clear. Can a melech be mafkir? Even if you tell me he could, so why are you using the term hefker based in hefker? You shouldn't use that. You should use whatever terminology you use to explain why a melech can be mafkir. Okay? So that's one question. So it could be that there's a chidush here in hefker based in hefker that's not necessarily a halacha of based in as much as it's a halacha of svara. This is what the Dvar Avram, the Kavna Rav, has in one of the early simanim of the Sefer, that the koach of, that's where he connects it to Dina Machus Adina and other things, that the koach of Hefka Beis Hefka is a halacha in Sirara. Based in is an authority institution, and therefore they can be mafkir things that, of those who are beneath them in authority. So if it's not a halacha of Beis Din as much as of Sirara, so we can apply it to Rashi Gola too. Could be that's what Rashi will hold. So we can define the Shevet component of Rashi Gola in terms of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, its authority. But why does Rashi say it now, and how does it relate to what we're discussing? So many Rishonim discuss Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and you can say Netilas Rishus Mivesh Galusa gives you what they have. They have power to be mafkir people's money. So if you have something of what they have, they can give you the power that you don't have to pay when you make a mistake. Because at the end of the day, they have a claim over you. But if what they say you owe them, the Rashi Gola say you don't owe them, and you have Rishus a priori that should you make a mistake, you don't owe them, so all that lies in the Netilas Rishus, that should you make a mistake, you don't have to pay. All of this is possible for the Gemara, that Netilas Rishus works through the prism of the koach of a Rashi Gola to be mafkir, and will explain that Hefker Beis Din Hefker is a function of Svara, and they're Shevet, and they have a koach, therefore, over Mammon of Yisrael, and therefore, the Netilas Rishus gives you anything having to do with what they have power of can lie in the Netilas Rishus. They are, in effect, granting you immunity because they have the ability to do such a thing. They can control people's money. They can tell you put. All possible. But if that were the Pshat and the Gemara, then what's the difficulty in reading Rashi? If that's the Yisod of Netilas Rishus pattering you, then what's the difficulty in the positioning of the Rashi? Where should Rashi have told us the secret of Hefker Beis Din Hefker? Yes, right at the beginning. So why are you pater when you're not the Rishus? Because of Hefker Beis Din Hefker. What did Rashi do? He waited. On that line of Gemara, what did Rashi say? Nachas Rishus. So we scratched it. We tried to figure out what that means. We came up with the pshat. And then, a little later in the Gemara, Hacha v'hasam, Hacha shevet, so Rashi brings in shevet, Hefker Beis Din Hefker. So something else. Rashi's not using Hefker Beis Din Hefker directly to speak to the bottom line of being part of the Lishan. Rashi is using Hefker Beis Din Hefker as something else, defining the Reish Galus. So what would it seem that Rashi is using Hefker Beis Din Hefker for? So how do we explain the other Rashi? That Rashi says that you've got from the Reish Galusa the right to be kofer. But how do you get that from Reish Galusa? Where do you see that in the Reish Galusa's power that therefore Netilas Rishus gives you the right to be kofer? So apparently you have to now explain this, but you have to say that if there's a halacha that the Reish Galusa can make people's money hefker based in hefker, he has that kind of a svara, then it's through that he can also empower you to be dan al yidei kfiya. In other words, the fact that he has that kind of control over people to the extent that he can take the money, so therefore he can also appoint you as a dayan to judge unilaterally. And that will have to be the pshat of this Rashi. So the Ptur Milishalem doesn't derive directly from the Hefker Beis and Hefker of the Rish Galusa. The power that the Ptur Milishalem derives from, if we're correct, the Tilas Rishus, which gives you the right to be done on a certain level of Kfiyah. But where does the Rish Galusa have the right to do that? To give you the appointment as a Dayan Lavnai de Kfiyah? That is somehow connected to the notion of Hefker Beis and Hefker that he has. Why exactly? I'll have to see if we can explain better. Yeah.
So according to Rashi, why would he bend completely over backwards with Hefker Beis and Hefker? If you just say it right in the beginning, in Akanami, he's saying...
No, because in the beginning he's explaining the Ptur Milishalem. Now he's explaining the
why can't he say the Hefker Beis and Hefker is talking about the Ptur Milishalem? He's bending over backwards and Hefker Beis and Hefker for Kfiyah and Kfiyah then gets the Ptur Milishalem.
Okay, so... You're asking a very good question. Maybe we can come up with an answer today. Maybe we can't. We'll see. Let's speed a few more. As if that isn't that difficult enough, there's another point Rashi makes, which is also out of left field, which also you have to figure out the implications. Let's see further in Rashi. So that's Shevet, good. Mechokek svara muetis. Mechokek is less. And now explains further. And what is the shevet? She wrote them as ha'am. Says Rashi. She yesh lem koach u'reshus me'is malchei paras. Wrote them as ha'am. The Rashi Golios who were in Bavel, they have authority to discipline people. And where does it come from? From the Persian kings. Davar pele. What does Rashi mean here? Malchei paras. Rashi got finished saying hefka beis din hefka. Rashi earlier says Yapatim Milishalem because Bishus Nachis. So what does the Malchi Paras have to do with anything? Does Malchi Paras have any relevance for our Inyan of being Patim Milishalem? Let's say a person didn't go to Reish Galusa for the Tzilas Bishus. Let's say we don't have Reish Galusas today. We don't. That's what the Torah says in Siman Gimel. You'll see for tomorrow or the next day. So what? So where do you go? So you go to Malchi Paras, you go to the Chmeis, to the authorities, the secular authorities. Can that help you as a dying Patim Lishalem? Is it such a notion? Can the king, secular king, do that for you? I mean, it's the whole point of the Rashi Gola is for Malchi Paras, so he didn't go direct. But Bacha, what did Rashi need it for? Furthermore, Malchi Paras, what was the jurisdiction? Where, what area? Bavel, that was under the Persian Empire. No, but what did the Gemara say? That the Rashi Gola can even grant immunity where in Eretz Yisrael. So how is Rashi going to explain that? So the whole Rashi here is, you know, we had enough problems with the two Rashis until now. Now Rashi throws in Malchi Paras. B'nei banav shel Hillel, Hillel Nasi Haya. K'da'ama b'psachim be'elu dvarim, hashivu b'rosh. When he came back and explained the halacha about Pesach being Doche Shabbos, all Gemara there, so they made him the Nasi, Minu Rat Nasi Aleim. Don Dina, the Bavel. This is Rabba Bachana, the Ta. Asel Eretz Yisrael, Kamid Rav Chia. Shmami na mihasam lacha lo mahani, the Harabba Bachana, the Shus Havi Nakim et Rebbe. The Nasi Dek Yisrael, the Kedam Manu Kamman Bishmaitin, what he's going to say later, Ben Nachi Yorid with Bavel. Lo minayich na kidna Rishusa, any cup of lechem, I don't need you. Alak Vulin, Hanim Shachos, Achar, Eretz Yisrael.